and true. All right. Let me ask that again. How many glad your Redeemer is faithful and true? Amen. Thank God for that. I hope I got this thing on right. Can you hear me good? All right. If you have your Bible, the little kids is easing out. We'll give them time to ease out, get the kids church. Turn your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Let me say thank you, Brother Kevin, for allowing us to come and be here today. And me and Michelle coming. Good to see Brother Mike again. And I sat in there. I thought I was prepared and ready. And only a preacher would know this. I sat in there and they sang that first song, He Is. And then my mind went over here to this scripture. And then he got up and sang that song, He Has. And my mind went over here to this scripture. And so I kind of in between verses to use today. But I've tried to study, tried to prepare. And I feel like it's what God has put on our heart. 2 Peter chapter number 1. We'll try not to be too long. I know we have a meal awaiting. I know you're ready for that. And let me say again, you ought to thank God every day for Brother Kevin, Miss Melissa. What a blessing that they are. I pastored a lot of years, and Brother Kevin preached for me, and my folks loved him. He and his wife, they always, it was a great joy to have them come. And like Kevin said about me and Mike, that's what I love about him. He's just real. What you see is what you get. We come in today, and he's talking back there, and I said, Brother Kevin, you scraping the bottom of the barrel, having me here to preach. You're in the bottom of the barrel. Now, his caliber of preaching, you get T-bone and ribeye. Today, you're going to get potted meat and Spam, all right? Potted meat and Spam is what you're going to get out of me. Amen. Turn your Bible to 2 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to look down in verse number 12. And today is a special day for me. It's my anniversary. Today is my 2-year anniversary. I want my beautiful bride to stand up, if she will. I want her to stand up. Everybody look at my beautiful bride. Somebody asked me one time, said she's pretty. I said, you don't think I'd marry an ugly woman, do you? Amen. But today is our 2-year anniversary. Today would have been my father's 95th birthday. He's in heaven. And my memory's not good. I've got a terrible memory. I forget people's names. I had a wedding yesterday, and I called the guy Kyle the whole time. His name ain't Kyle. His name's Ty. I preached a funeral one time, and the whole time I was trying to do the funeral for Brother Jones, and his name was not Brother Jones. It was Brother Shaw. And so my memory's really not good. Brother Kevin, when he called me and booked me to come, he said, are you tied up on October the 23rd? I hollered in at my wife. I said, honey, do we got anything going on the 23rd? And she looked at me and said, well, that's our anniversary. I said, no, it's not. Not the 23rd. Our anniversary is the 28th. And she said, honey, I said, the 23rd is my daddy's birthday. She said, yeah, and we got married on your daddy's birthday. And so my memory's really not all that wonderful. But there are some things that I pray that I never forget. I had a deacon in my church one time. His mom had Alzheimer's. She was in the nursing home, and he would go up to visit. He was the baby child of a large family, and he would go up and talk to his mom, and she didn't even know who he was. He was the baby of the family. And he would say, Mom, do you know so-and-so, and the sister? And she just look at him, blank stare. I don't know her. Do you know? And name another sister. And said, Mom, do you know me? I'm Greg. I'm your baby son. And she said, no, I don't know. I don't know who you are. He said, Mom, do you know Jesus? And she perked up, said, now I know him. Amen. There are some things that I pray to God I never never forget, as bad as my mind is. Look in your Bible in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Peter says this, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." Now, in the epistle of Peter here, he's reminding fellow Christians of the wonderful ways that God has blessed us. How many will lift your hand and say, "Preacher, God's been mighty good to me"? We'd all have to say that today. And then Peter, he talks about and admonishes us to grow in our spiritual life. And then in verse 12 down to 15 that we read, he's talking about remembrance. And in the first three chapters, he speaks about remembrance. And let me say, it's no big deal if we forget a few things in our life, but I hope there's some things that will remain vivid in my memory. Amen. And I'm here today to try to stir up your remembrance. May I never forget of the price that was paid for my salvation. I hope I never forget the price that was paid for my salvation. I remember when I was lost in my sin. I remember when I, like the song sang today, hopeless and lost in my sin. But I'm grateful for that night that the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart and made me realize that Jesus Christ went to Calvary and he loved me and he shed his blood on Calvary so I could be saved. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Amen. I'm not worried about death because I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hey, listen, I may forget my anniversary. I forgot my wife's birthday. But listen, I hope I never forget what Jesus done for me at Calvary. The Bible said we was all sinners and the wages of our sin was death, being eternally separated from God. But the gift of God, amen, is eternal life. Amen. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God, amen, he gave us everlasting life. I hope I never take for granted what Jesus done for me. The Bible said he became sin who knew no sin, that I might be made of the righteousness of God in him. You take all of my sin and all of your sin and all of your sin, and the Bible said the Lord laid on him of the iniquity of us all. Him that knew no sin, he never said a wrong word, he never thought a wrong thought, he never done a wrong deed, but yet he went to Calvary and he took my sin and he took your sin and he paid the ultimate price so you and I could have eternal life and we could go to heaven. Don't get excited now on me. We're going to heaven and we're going to live as long as God lives. Amen. Don't hurt yourself rejoicing about that. I hope I never forget the price that was paid so I could be saved. Amen. Listen, you're married. You can't work hard enough. You can't be good enough. You can't perform well enough for you to be saved. It's just by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. How many remembers when you was lost in your sin, had the burden of sin, had the wages of sin, but that day or that night you come to Jesus and you put your trust in him and he forgive you of your sin, and it's like the weight of the world was set off of your shoulders. I hope I never forget that. I hope I never take for granted what Jesus done for me. Amen. I'm here to tell you today, it's no secret what he's done for me, he can do for anybody. If you're not saved, you ought to be saved. If you never met Jesus, you ought to meet him today. It'd be the grandest day of your life. And I pray that I never forget the price that was paid. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many saved folks in the building today? You remember where you was at? Amen. You remember the shape you was in? Amen. I never will forget. The Holy Spirit of God would speak to my heart. Amen. Man, I was under conviction. I never forget it. June the 5th, 1974, I was sitting on the second row. My dad was up preaching. I don't know what he said. The Lord had already put me under conviction. And that night, he gave the invitation. I walked about 5 foot, bowed in an altar, and prayed a prayer to the Lord. And it's like you said, this pulpit off of me. My dad said, son, tell us what happened. I said the greatest words that ever come out of my mouth. The Lord saved me. Amen. Thank God that he saved me. I hope I never forget the price that was paid for my sin. Look over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18 and verse number 20. The Bible puts it this way, Peter does. For as much as you know that you were redeemed, not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. The blood of Jesus Christ, I hope I never forget. Amen. When I look at the cross, I hope I don't look at it nonchalant. If somebody said, the Lord don't love me, look at the cross. Amen. That's a great reminder. The Bible said, but God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. I hope I never forget that. Number two. I hope I never forget the people that God has put in my life to bless my life. Amen. Thank God for the people that God has put in my life. My memory goes back. I think of preachers. I think of teachers. I think of just laymen. I think of friends. I think of neighbors. I coming today, and brother, the pastor, and brother Mike, brother Kevin, brother Mike, talked about how these next door neighbors, friends coming up. Hey, listen, ain't it wonderful that God puts people in our life to bless our life? Amen. I hope I never forget the people that God has put in my life. Hey, Peter, when you look through his epistles, he's expressing appreciation up for Silas, for Mark. I mean, Mark was like a brother to him, and he's expressing appreciation to them in 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13. I won't turn there. You can look. But listen, he is thankful and has gratitude for the people that God has placed in his life. Amen. Everybody look up here at me. Hey, you didn't get where you at by yourself. I pastored 34 years and I had a big 8x10 picture in my office wall, and it was a turtle sitting on a fence post, and I'd look at it every Sunday when I'd walk out the door, and it said, you didn't get here by yourself, amen. And I'm going to tell you, you didn't get where you are by yourself either. Thank God for people that believed in you and for people that give you a chance and people that was in your corner. And God has put them in your life to bless your life and make you what you are today. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching? Yes. Well, act like you do. Amen. Look up here. A little head nod goes a long way. A little head nod goes a long way. Amen. Hey, listen. My daddy was a coon hunter. and he take him dogs out, and you get behind them dogs, man, and go, whoa, talk to him, Blue, talk to him. Man, they double clutch. That's what happens when the preachers preach. If you believe what he's saying, say, amen, preacher. Amen, I'm with you. Help me out. Hey, I hope I never forget what Jesus done for me. I hope I never forget the people that God has put in my life. Brother Kevin got up here and said, I'm not a good pastor. I'm not a good preacher. He's one of the best. He's one of the best as far as I'm concerned. But I'm going to tell you this. I started preaching at the age of 22. I started pastoring at the age of 23. And I pastored until 2 years ago. I pastored for 34 straight years. And you think I can't preach today? You ought to have heard my first sermon. And I ain't much better. But thank God for people that stuck in there with me. Thank God for people that prayed for me and gave me opportunity and let me preach occasionally. Amen. I'm just telling you, you are not where you are by yourself. God has put people in your life, and God has opened doors, and God has orchestrated opportunities. And I pray I never forget the people God used to make me what I am today. Number three, and I hurry. 2 Peter chapter 1, look back at it. Chapter 1 and verse number 4. Amen. Hey, listen, I about jumped off that pew when that brother started singing that song about his mercies are new every morning. Thank God that they are, because I need a lot of it. Amen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lies. Amen. I hope, as bad as my memory is, I hope I don't ever forget what Jesus done for me. I hope I never forget the people that God has placed in my life. And I hope I never forget the promises of the Word of God to sustain me. Amen. Listen, I need help, right? You need help. Thank God for the Bible. How many's got a copy of God's wonderful book, Divine? Hold it up, man. Hold it up. Pull it up to your bosom. Kiss on it. Amen. I dare you to do it. Just kiss on it, man. Woo! Listen, the promises of the Word of God. The promises of the Word of God. Hey, have you ever felt like life was a violin solo and you had on boxing gloves, amen? It's just like, man, I just can't make it. I can't make it. Hey, listen, we can make it, amen? We have the Holy Spirit of God that is within us. We have the grace, yes, the grace that saved us, but we got the grace that sustains us. You remember when Jesus was about to go back to heaven and his disciples were sitting there brokenhearted, and he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, my Father, believe also in me. In my Father's house there's many mansions, and I'm going away to prepare you a place. The promises of the Word of God. The Bible said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Thank God for the promises of the Word of God. Lamentations chapter number 13 and verse 21. The brother sung about it right there in his song. The writer said, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. My pastor preached Wednesday night on unstoppable joy. And he talked about how you can live X amount of days without water and X amount of days without food, but you cannot make it without hope. You cannot make it without hope. As long as you have hope And thank God our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the Lord and what he done. But the writer said, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. You ever had a bad week or a bad day? Hey, be here tonight. Don't lay out tonight. Be here tonight. I'm going to preach a wonderful sermon. It's going to be the best one I ever preach in my life. So be here. Don't miss it. So you can tell everybody. I heard the greatest sermon he ever preached. Be here tonight. I'm going to try to encourage you. Amen. But I want to say this right here. Amen. Great is his faithfulness. Recall to mind. He said, this I recall to mind, and I have hope because your compassions fail not. Your mercies are new every morning. Your faithfulness is great. Amen. How many has ever had a time felt like the wind was out of your sails? You ever had a day like that? Little boy went into the store one time. He's looking around in there, and the store owner, little old bitty boy, and the store owner come by and said, young man, can I help you? He said, I'm hunting the biggest box of Tide washing powders that you have. He said, well, it's up here. He said, what do you need it for? You washing clothes? He said, I'm washing my dog. And the guy said, well, young man, I don't mean to be a know-it-all, but I believe that detergent be a little bit too harsh on a dog. I believe you ought to get you some dog shampoo or maybe some Dawn dishwashing liquid, but I believe that Tide will be just too bad. He said, nope, that's what I want. He got the Tide, and he went out the door. The little boy come back in about 2 weeks, skipping along the store owner remembered him, said, hey, young man, how about the dog? How's he doing? He said, oh, he's dead. He said, well, I don't want to be a know-it-all, but I told you the Tide, you shouldn't have done it. He said, oh, no, I don't think it's Tide. I think it was a spin cycle. Yeah, it felt like you've been in a spin cycle. I felt like I've been in a spin cycle. Amen. Hey, how many knows the devil would like to fog your mind up? The devil would like to make you think God don't care. God don't know about your problem. God ain't interested in your problem. He done forgot about your problem. But the rod of lamentation said, this I recall to mind, and therefore have I hope. His compassions, they don't fail. Amen. Did you catch that a while ago when they sang? You probably, me and my wife's on one even caught that. He said that song, you know, I'm not good, but he is. I don't know the words to it. But it said, I can't see tomorrow, but he has. Yes. Did you get that? Not he can. He has. He has. And let me tell you the way God is. Somebody said, man, we pray to God and he hears and answers our prayer. The Bible said, before they call, I will answer. He knows what you pray before you even pray it, before you even verbalize it. I'm preaching on this. My mind's terrible. I can't remember nothing. But I hope I never forget the promises of the Word of God that has sustained me through the dark days of my life. If you ever had a rough time, just get you a promise out of the Word of God. Amen. We know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, to those that are the called according to his purpose. What about Psalm 46, verse number 1? The Lord is our refuge, and he's our strength, and he's a very present help in a time of trouble. Amen. Didn't say he was, though he has been. Didn't say he will be, though he will be. Said he is right now at this present moment. Listen, I couldn't make it without the Word of God, without the promises of the Word of God. Amen. Let me hurry on. I hope I never forget the price paid for my salvation. Listen, if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. I'd be in hell with you if we got what we deserved. If we got justice, we'd be in hell, but we didn't get justice. The songwriter said, when justice called, mercy answered. Listen, justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. But grace is getting what you don't deserve. I'm looking at that young man, fine looking young man right there. Is that the mom and dad? Fine looking family sitting there. Let me tell you something, I got one daughter, and I'd lay my life down right now. I promise you, I'd lay my life down right now for my daughter, one daughter. I got two grandbabies. I got a 7-year-old grandbaby by marriage, and I got a 1-month-old granddaughter, and I'd lay my life down. What if y'all got home tonight? I'm just using this as an illustration. I'm talking about the promises of the Word of God. I'm talking about the price paid for me. I hope I never forget what Jesus done for me as low down as I am, was, and still am. Amen. What if y'all got home tonight, sometime during the night, somebody slipped in to the young man's bedroom and kidnapped him and took off with him? You know what? As a dad, you know what you'd do? You'd head down, you'd run down. Now, what if you caught the guy? I mean, listen, what if you got out there and the guy's kidnapped your boy and he's taken his life? He's taken his life and you catch him and you beat him to death. You know what you would call that? You would call that justice. The guy got what was coming. What if you held the guy down and held on to him till your wife called 911 in Hamilton County Sheriff Department, got out there, and they apprehended him, and they put him in jail, and they had a trial, and they sent him off to the big house to spend the rest of his life. What would you call that? You'd call it mercy. You'd call it mercy. He didn't get justice. He didn't lose his life. He got mercy. But what if you looked at that man and said, I've got one son and you took my son. I've got one and only one son and he is my life and I love him. And now I'm not going to get to see him graduate. I'm not going to get to see him watch football. I'm not going to get to see him get married. I ain't going to have no grandbaby. I had one boy that I love with all my heart and now I don't have him anymore because of you. So I'm going to make you my son. And all the love that I would have given him, I'm going to give it to you. That's exactly what happened. That's what happened. So don't get too excited about it, whatever you do. Whatever you do, don't you act like you got a little bit of joy about it, or you might be at least a bit happy about it. The Lord had one son, and he loved you. Not the whole world. He did love the whole world, but he loved you. Somebody asked Jesus, how much do you love me, Lord? And he said, I love you this much. Right before he died for you. I hope I never get over that. You say, oh, you need to calm yourself down. You got here too late to tell me that. Amen. Hey, listen, the Lord has done the greatest thing that has ever been done in my life. And I'm going to praise him if it hair lips you and the devil. Amen. I don't want to forget the price that was paid for my sins. I don't want to forget the people that God has put in my life. I'm right now, my little old minds are spinning right now thinking about, I can name Sunday school teachers, Foy Lee Franklin, Laverne Robertson, Shirlene Evans. I'm talking Sunday school teachers. When I was a little snotty-nosed brat boy, and they didn't think I was listening to nothing they saying, and God put them there, and I heard them. I heard them. And when I was 9, the Holy Spirit of God put me under Holy Ghost conviction. And I'll never forget it. That night, June the 5th, 1974, I come and I was saved. Somebody do the math. That was 74. What's this, 2022? I've been saved 48 years. I know it don't look but 38, but believe it or not, I've been saved 48. It's pretty good, ain't it? I got to streamline this. I got to hurry. Hey, I hope I never forget the provision that he has made for me in heaven. In heaven. in heaven. Look here in 1 Peter chapter 1, just back over there a few pages, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse number 4. Let's look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Everybody look up here at me. I don't fit in with this world. I don't fit in. I don't want to fit in. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner. I don't want to get adjusted to this world. Amen. My sights is in another world. And I'm glad the Lord has prepared a place. I'm happy for what's going to be there. Jesus, my dad, my brother. I was driving up here this morning, coming up the road, Brother Kevin. I passed a home I used to live in, 3803 Chattanooga Road, Tunnel Hill, Georgia. Passed it. Looked, I didn't say a word to my wife. She didn't have no idea what I was thinking this. I looked over there in the driveway to where I come home one day and found my 40-year-old brother laying dead. 27 years ago. And I looked back and seen a little shed behind the house where I was standing there talking to my father-in-law when he dropped dead right before me. I looked at my daddy's picture this morning, put a little post on Facebook and said, "Happy birthday, Dad. I miss you. You'd be 95 today." Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Heaven is looking better and better and better. Heaven's looking better and better and better. And thank God I got a hope for heaven. Everybody look up here. I believe the coming of the Lord is imminent. I believe the Lord could come. I may not even be back tonight to preach. I believe the Lord's are coming back. I believe he is. And thank God heaven will fix it all. Heaven will fix everything. Thank God for the provision of heaven that he's made for me. Paul put it this way, Romans 8, verse number 18. For I reckon, I like that word. That's a good old southern word, ain't it? For I reckon, he wasn't doing that. I just throwed that in there. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The word reckon is an accounting term. It means calculated. It means added up. My little girl, or my 30-year-old girl, gave birth to my granddaughter a month ago yesterday. I was at the hospital. I was not in the room with her. I'd have been in there, but they wouldn't let me in there. So I was as close as I could get to the door with my ear stuck up to the door. And I could hear it all. I could hear the breathing. I could hear the pushing. I could hear everything. And I was the announcer. I said, "That baby's going to be here in 5 seconds. About that time, the baby was here, and I knew it was here. And I asked my daughter, how many mamas we got in the building? You know, your mind goes back when that, all that pain, all that labor. And my first wife that passed away was a redhead. She weighed 106 pounds. But don't let that fool you. She was redhead. Did I say she's redhead? I'm a big old boy. I'm at least 250. No, we'll forget. God called me to preach. I was 18-year-old when he called me. I didn't start till I was 22. And he called me to preach. And I said, "Lord, I can't preach. I don't meet the criteria of a Baptist preacher." I said, "I'm not fat. I'm not bald-headed." And he said, "Well, you start and we'll work on it." Y'all smile at me. Come on. You know that's funny. Quit being tough over there. Here's what I'm saying. I never will forget March 27th at 3:37 in the morning is when my wife gave birth to Katie. And before she gave birth, it was rough. Through gritted teeth. I mean, she looked at me and said, you better go get that doctor right now. And what I do, I went running down that hall fast as I go. I'm going to tell you something, it was hard. But when that baby was born and she held that baby, and I seen it all over again in my daughter holding her precious little baby girl, I said, would you do it again? She said 1,000 times, I'd do it again. Hey, listen, we may be beat about half to death when we get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. The songwriter put a little word in a song, said, the toils of the road will seem like nothing. I hope I never forget the provision of heaven. I got more, but I'm done. I got more I could say, but I feel like I've said enough. Amen. Listen, I hope I never forget. I don't know how you want to do invitation. Can Mike come back and sing an invitation song, Brother Mike, if you will? Listen, how many knows we're living in a rough world, ain't we? It's rough. Be here tonight, God willing, if he don't change my mind, that's subject to happen. But if he don't change my mind, I ain't even going to tell you what I'm going to preach on, but it'd be worth coming back for. It'd be worth coming back for. How many lift hands and say, preacher, it's been a rough year. Boy, I've dealt with some stuff. Boy, we have, haven't we? I'm going to be honest with you, but church world's dealt with some stuff since all that old COVID stuff. And COVID's real. All that stuff is real. I had it. I was in the hospital a week with it. About died of it. But God brought me through it. But I'm going to tell you something. All of us, every one of us in this building go through something. Somebody put it this way. You're either in a storm right now or you just come out. Or you're about to go in one. Every one of us, we're not trouble free. Just because you get saved don't mean it's all pie in the sky. No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. It rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody look at perhaps just because you got saved don't mean you might not have cancer. It may not mean you might not get a divorce. It may not mean you might not have a heart attack. It may not mean that child that you raised up will run rebellious and break your heart. You're subject to everything, as I am. And I'm going to try to encourage you tonight. If you'll come back out of Psalms. Now, I ain't going to get into it, but I am going to say this. Every one of us have problems. But here's what I want to ask you to do. Before we stand, Brother Mike's going to sing us a song. You may be here today. Let's all stand together. Listen. He said, I want to stir your memory up. I want to stir your remembrance up. God help us when we come to church. It's just another day. No, it's a day that we come in and worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We come in and worship the one that loved us more than you love yourself. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I wish you'd meet him. You say, preacher, is it as good as you let on? No, it's a whole lot better than I can describe it. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of things in my 57 years of living that I wished I didn't do. I wished I could go back and change it and do it differently. But the day I met Jesus was the greatest day of my life. Greatest day of my life. The day I fully surrendered my life to the Lord was the second greatest day of my life. When I said, Lord, I don't know what you can do with me, but here I am. Just whatever you want. And for these years, I've tried my best just to be faithful. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most eloquent. I know I'm hillbilly. I know I'm country. I know I am. But some country folks need to hear some country preaching. Amen. I told all the preachers that ever started out under me, I said, don't get them trying to let them act like me. Just be yourself. God called you because he wants somebody like you. Don't you try to mimic me. Let's all try to mimic the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. I hope I never forget what he done for me. Think about this. I know it's Pastor Appreciation Day, and it ought to be, and you should appreciate him. But I'm going to tell you something. You may be in the building. Maybe the pastor's been a great blessing, his wife, but there may be somebody else here in this place that God has used them to make such a difference in your life. They wouldn't be a thing wrong with just walking over and hugging their neck. Don't wait till they're laying down here and you come by. Tell them why they're living. Give them flowers while they're living. Just walk over there. You may not do it now. You may do it after the service. But walk over there and hug their neck. Say, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for believing in me when nobody else did. Thank you. Because I'm where I'm at today because of the Lord, but because you've been instrumental in my life. Don't forget the promises. And listen, I left this and all, but I give it to you. May I never forget the performance that God expects out of me. What do you mean performance? You're performing to get to heaven? No, I'm not. I'm getting to heaven through faith. But I believe I'm working from faith. One of the verses there said, Christ left us an example that we should follow his steps. And I believe as long as I'm in this world, see, the Lord didn't save me just keep me out of hell. Thank God that happened. But if he saved me just to keep me out of hell, I'd have went to heaven in 1974. But he left me here. Why? Because somebody needs Jesus. And he used somebody to reach me, and he's using me to reach somebody. And he wants to do that with you. So here's what I ask you to do while Brother Mike sings. If you feel the need to come and pray for whatever, for anything, just come down and pray. I'll ask him to sing the one song and we'll be done. And then we'll go eat some wonderful gospel bird fried chicken.
Mother barely 20.
Listen.
Out there on.